mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Just get the dudes the next couple of days. Jen on her way down to, and I can confirm, actually got a picture from a buddy who's on her same flight, down to Texas as a feature that she is going to be working on for ESPN. So you just get me and Chu, and not even Joshy. Joshy's taking off tomorrow.
What the heck? Getting frustrated. You did not explain that very well.
What?
Well, I heard you talking to Joshy. I'm like, what are you talking about? And you started walking over towards me.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, Jen's on a flight here. My buddy took a picture of her. So you show me the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is on you. You show me the picture, yep. And I'm like, wow. You're like, what? She's like, that's Jen there.
Yeah.
I thought you were, I didn't realize he flipped the camera. I thought your buddy was Jen, and I'm like,
yeah,
she needs a shave.
I assumed that you would figure out that who took the selfie would be, you know, not Jen.
I thought you actually put it through one of those filters that made Jen look like a man.
No, hood is up. Well, like,
why
she
are you shaking your head? Why is this on me?
It couldn't be more obvious that the guy's face you saw with a beard was not going to be.
He didn't have a beard.
Jen.
He had 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, he's got a little stubble going on.
I guarantee there's an app, Joshy, that can make a female look like a man. So that's what
Jen
I thought.
Was also
it was.
Wearing a sweatshirt she wore like here yesterday.
Why would I look behind the picture? I thought your buddy turned around and said, hey,
well, because
I'm going to send it to Gabe. Can I take a picture of you?
Because when the person in the foreground clearly wasn't a woman, your eyes would go to the back.
I'm thinking filter. Everyone filters. Everything today about filters.
That would be an interesting filter to use, where Jen would just get, you know, objectively uglier.
Turned into a guy? Is there a filter?
I mean, I'm sure there is.
What would I look like as a girl? Can we find the filter? Someone find the filter.
I'm not going to dive into it. But yes, I know there are filters like that. Yes. I'm sure.
So that's
sure
on you for you did not explain that very well.
Well, I just assumed you would figure out.
No, there's no assuming when it comes to me.
That, you know, that's a good point.
Yes.
That's a good point that you bring up.
Okay.
That there is no, you can't just assume with you. That's on me. Yeah. I should have explained that Jen was the one in the background who looked like she was.
Why? Did you think Jen was playing hooky and saying she was going somewhere and actually having a day?
No, my buddy,
and your buddy's like, no, she's really leaving.
Well, no, my buddy happened to be on the same flight as her, and he texted me this morning, and I think he was looking for permission to mess with her.
Okay.
And I said, she gets pretty stressed out on flights, man. Like, you should probably just let her be.
Because I have played hooky.
Yeah, we know.
You do?
But do you think I just always assumed that the pizza excuse was you playing hooky.
That was me playing hooky.
Yeah.
I didn't want to come in.
It was a bad excuse.
Was it?
It was terrible. We sussed it out as soon as you said it.
So what should I have used? I mean, you can always have diarrhea just dominates everything, right?
Oh, sure.
Here's the thing most people don't know. I can't make it in tomorrow is good enough.
It is?
You don't need to spice up the lie.
No. Not with a 56-year-old. You always had to have a reason back in the day. Just because the world went soft, you know? No. I was always taught you have to have a reason why you can't work or whatever.
Hey, I mean, you could just say, hey, got to use a sick day.
Do we have sick days?
Yeah.
See, I don't
know. Not like
them.
You would know because you just take off days and nobody checks in.
Yeah, but again, the way... You mentioned this yesterday. The way you have set up your life is fantastic. You could just say, hey, can't come in. And nobody's going to say anything. Like, all right, cool, Chu. Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah, but I have a conscience. I feel bad.
So you're telling me you felt bad?
No, I didn't.
Couldn't even make it seconds before the lie broke down.
So you're taking another day off?
Yeah, I am.
Is this a sick day or is this a real day?
This is a vacation day.
On a Friday? I smell something as a foot.
My guess is he's got a concert to go to.
No, it's neither of it. There's not going to be anyone at my house, and instead of paying for a dog sitter, just going to stay home.
Yeah.
Because I have days I can do whatever the hell I want with.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter if I go to a concert or on a vacation or sit my happy ass at home.
Look, because you have been terrible at using said vacation days, I did not think that sitting your ass at home this early in the year would have been on the table.
You got to start somewhere, Dave.
Yeah, look, I understand.
I'm turning over a new leaf.
I know you've done it in December when you're like, oh, I've got these days. I might as well just use them and not
show
up to work.
Could you bring your dog in here?
Could I?
Yeah.
Sure, it would be bad for everyone else because it's still a puppy.
Would people have a problem with it, though? Because they bring that dog in here and that, you know.
My dog is not.
We have the office dog,
yeah,
Sophie.
That's a delete. That's a 2-second delete.
My dog is not therapy certified, as I believe Sophie has been. There's a whole training process. So while my dog would have a lot of fun would enjoy it.
Can I get a time? What is therapy, whatever you just said?
So some dogs are like, I'm sure you've seen, as much as you have traveled, I am sure you have seen at some point service dogs that travel with people that are, emotional therapy animals.
Great.
Right? They have to, in order.
We had one again, on the flight back that barked the whole time. I'm like.
Yeah, that's generally an indication of that person is trying to get around the rules, but there's a reason the ADA passed and we have to allow people to do that. Some people take advantage of it. Most people. Like, a lot of the dogs you see at, like, hospitals and schools.
Yeah, things of that nature.
Like, those are good dogs. They just kind of hang out. They make kids happy. Everyone else is happy. That dog that's here is certified for that. Mine is not. Mine would be the one barking.
Russ is not certified.
Pulling on people's sleeves, trying to play fetch. Like, that's not conducive to
productivity. So it's a fun dog.
It is a fun dog.
Okay. I just don't get the whole. That's why I love my wife. People try and sit there with a dog. She'll go, nope, get out.
Sit where?
Next to us on a plane.
Oh.
With a dog. Say no. I mean, if they have the right to bring it on the plane, I have the right to say no. You're not sitting next to me with your dog.
I think it helps when somebody your size is next to her as the backup.
Yes.
Hey, you're not sitting here. Otherwise, you got to deal with this guy.
But that's fine. You want to bring your dog on, fine. But where's my wife's rights, who was attacked by a pit bull and had to go through the rabies shot?
Yeah.
Where are her rights?
Well, I mean, again, you should have sued whoever's dog that was.
That was a friend. And that ended. But I'll tell you that.
There were her
rights
that you decided to waive.
I am batting probably 84% with the stewardess over the air going, it's not a complete full flight. There are like two or three seats that are empty. And then immediately Angie goes, all right, blow up. And I go, get myself as big as I can.
Try to.
I've been like this winter probably 6 for 8.
That's pretty good.
People that's not bad.
Sitting next to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you even really need to blow up. I mean, you're, what, 6'6"?
Your shoulders are just broad in general.
Yeah.
People see your head sticking out and go, that's probably not the place for me.
But the wiping of the nose constantly when you get to the back of the C group, you know that.
Sitting next to somebody on a flight who is going through some sort of respiratory is the worst because you're like, I'm just trapped.
Yeah.
I have no option. And this person won't stop sneezing or sniffling. Ugh.
Would you sit down if the person was sniffling and sneezing in row 3? There are 2 seats. Row 3, sniffling and sneezing a little bigger, or the very last row, middle, with no problem.
I never want middle.
I'd suck it up and sit in row 3.
Yeah, I would too.
Just hope for the best.
Yeah. I have no problem with the back of a plane unless it's like I have a very short turnaround for a layover. Like, I don't care if I get off 4 minutes before.
No, you're wrong.
It doesn't bother me.
No, back of the plane, early flight, when people got coffee going through their system and they're backing them out on the plane, you don't want to sit there. That's, Am I right?
I've never experienced that specifically.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, like, there's, I mean, some have it just in the front on some planes. Like, I've never really noticed it being that big of a problem, but there could definitely be, so, like, a flight back from Vegas, don't be near.
Oh, you don't want to be
anywhere. Don't be near any of the bathrooms.
No.
Even in the front, that's not desirable.
Why Vegas?
Because you've been out partying all the time.
You ate like trash. You drank like trash.
Your innards aren't going to be exactly agreeable when you start changing altitudes.
Fair.
I bet the same thing applies for Mardi Gras.
Ooh. Yes,
coming back
from New Orleans.
It'd be a terrible spot to be.
Yeah, that's not where you want to be.
I don't think it is physically possible for me to do that on a plane.
I've never tried. I've told you that. That's like one of my biggest fears is like drinking too much coffee. Like I'm a huge coffee drinker.
Yeah.
If I have a flight in the morning, like I am not drinking. The only coffee I might drink is the food service coffee. Like they come through, it's just a small, because I am scared of having to go and just absolutely dominate one of those bathrooms on an airplane. Like I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to have that little Lamar Jackson run to the bathroom on the plane down the aisle. Don't want anything to do with any of that.
I mean, knock on wood here, I've never even had the urge hit me on a plane yet.
Either have I.
And I think my body is just saying, not here, pal. We'll figure it out.
But you know what? It's so frustrating because I have to stretch before I even think about going to take a leak in there because it's so small.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think they could have the seat that would stay up instead of having to hold the seat with one hand and hold your with the other?
Your fella.
You know what I'm saying? Those seats don't stay up. They fall down.
Yeah, I guess I've never really thought about it.
Oh, it's very frustrating.
I can see why.
Yeah.
On the Carblues talking text line, 800-990-3776, Chef Ed says, what do Joshy and Jesse Nelson have in common? They both take days off to dog sit.
Yep. Well, mine's actually using vacation days. Jesse just took half days. I was actually being paid for mine. I wasn't shirking the rules.
I didn't know that.
Ron of the Key also says, hold a brown paper lunch bag to your face after you sit down. Nobody's going to sit next to you.
Because you're going to barf?
Yeah.
Are those still on planes?
I guess I haven't really dug through the...
Is the barf bag still a thing?
I think it's still a thing. I mean, I would assume it still has to be there. I'm assuming that's still an issue for people.
Huh. I'll check today.
Yes, please report back.
Report back. Send a picture. Send us a picture of all the items in the back of the seat.
I kind
of
miss the magazines. They could bring those back. I mean, that was
Sky
a COVID.
Mall?
Yeah. that was a COVID thing, though, right?
Did they disappear? I think
they got rid of them after COVID.
I feel like I haven't seen a Sky Mall that way predates COVID.
I was about to say, I assume they got rid of Sky Mall because, you know, the internet.
How did Sky Mall work as somebody who never purchased one? You were supposed to order something via magazine that would then later meet you at home after you had...
Well, yeah, because whatever you fill out is going to have your home address. It's not like you're going to the stewardess and going, excuse me, ma'am.
I would fill out a card.
I would like this lightsaber, and I would like it to be sent to my house.
Do you guys remember when they used to have phones on the plane?
I don't.
You don't remember that?
No. So I only... My first flight...
Yeah.
I took my first flight at... 20 years old.
Okay.
I didn't fly anywhere until I was 20.
My first flight?
Yeah.
Syracuse official visit.
Okay.
Was I 18? Probably 17.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wore a sport coat.
People used to dress up to get on planes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Smoke heaters.
And then the only thing I remember, I had a middle seat, and the flight was from Hartford to Syracuse, which is literally like 50 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, the drink cart comes around. I thought you had to pay for that stuff. I didn't have any money. And then the dude next to me goes, you know, those are free. And I'm like, I'll take three Cokes. Yeah. I had no idea. First time I flew.
I don't know if they're still out there, but there was, when I was having to, for work, travel to Cleveland, it's the smaller planes you usually get on, which are those things. I thought I was smart picking a side with only one row on it, but you're cramped in that thing. Still had the ashtrays.
Ashtrays,
in it.
Yeah.
Oh.
The smaller planes that they're just not going to replace.
Uh-huh. That got me excited. Seeing a little ashtray there.
I can't believe you don't remember the phones.
No.
When I played, yeah. Those are big bills.
So with the Sky Mall, was there a card you ripped out and then gave to the flight attendant who then submitted it? How did that work?
I have no idea. Are you guys too young to remember Midwest Express?
No. That was the first airline I ever flew on.
I never flew on it.
Which
but
I would
remember,
kill for that airline
I remember
to
hearing
be back.
The ads like clear as day on like Brewers broadcasts. Absolutely.
They pushed the cookie hard.
Cookie, you'd get a full meal, as much wine as you wanted. That airline was the best. Why can't it come back?
Oh, I think you just explained why.
Because they were the most enjoyable to travel.
Jason Wilde is going to be coming back. He is going to be joining us next here on Jen, Gabe, and Jubi. Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center, of course, is the only place to do it. There is a reason you hear me and Chu talk about our guy, Dean, the Dancing Machine, and the Jewelry Center, especially when it comes to diamond engagement rings. Whether you're looking for a lab-grown diamond, a naturally mined diamond, they're going to have options. And the helpful team that they have put together in Greenfield, Brookfield, and in Burlington, never going to lead you astray. Maybe you don't have an idea of what that ring should look like. Go to our Pinterest page. Bring those ideas in, and the Jewelry Center is going to make sure you get that perfect engagement ring. Check out the inventory. Again, stop by Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. Online, shoptjc.com. And when you go to the Jewelry Center, you just tell them that Gabe and Chu sent you.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, dude.
Well, top of the morning to you, gentlemen.
Hi, buddy.
That's creepy.
We wouldn't have him any other way, Jason. Chewy was just asking us, and I don't know if you do, but do you remember phones on a plane?
I remember snakes on a plane. No, I remember phones on a plane very much. Yeah, it used to be a pretty nifty little thing that you could do and be charged like $4 a minute for using it.
We were talking how much we miss Midwest Express, Jason.
Oh.
Isn't that the best?
Couldn't agree with you more. Oh. That was, I mean, so when I tell my famous story about Virginia McCaskey holding 9-week-old Maddie, the reason that Paula and Maddie were able to go to the NFL meetings that year with me is because Milwaukee-based Midwest Express, I had a friend of a friend who was pretty high up with Midwest Express. And so we decided for them to come with me, like, I don't know, less than a week before we went. And we're not wealthy people. We don't have that NFL money. So, They were unbelievably accommodating. They made it possible for them to go. Like we need more of that in our world today, not less. And unfortunately, airline travel, there are no fresh baked cookies. There are no great amenities that come with travel unless you pay through the nose to get it. So yeah, I miss it as well.
Jason, did I see LaFleur talked about the coaching changes. Did he get along with Rebrovich, or is Rebrovich the entire reason why the defensive line was no good last year?
No, he's the scapegoat. I mean, look, they changed systems. They kept the guy who had been, like, he'd been a 3-4 outside linebackers coach. He'd been the pass rush specialist. I think he had coached in both a 4-3 and a 3-4 in his previous stops. It's not his fault that those guys weren't productive. Like, you know this. Guys get fired because it's easier to do that than to cut Lucas Van Ness, Rashawn Gary, Kenny Clark, and Devontae Wyatt, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think it was Jason Rebrovich's fault by any means. But at the same time, they want to try something different, and they need to get – look, the bottom line is they need to get more production out of those guys. And Goody is on the record now saying that we have everything we need. He said it twice now. He said it at the end of the season. Now he said it again at the NFL meeting. So if you're a Packers fan, you are hoping that Brian Gutekunst is proven right and all those major capital investments, both through draft picks and contracts, pay off. And those guys are all they need to get a four-man rush going. But I don't believe it was Jason Rebrovich's fault, no.
But he's so inconsistent, though, because I remember the special teams coach who was horrible, who we held on for forever. And if that's the case, why didn't he consider firing the receivers coach? Because that's a position I think grossly underperformed as well. I don't understand this talking out both sides of your mouth like, you know, no one's going to catch it and I'm going to slip this in. You know, he's holding Rebrovich accountable, but he's not holding himself accountable.
Yeah, I don't disagree. But again, guys get fired all the time, even though it's, you know, they can't fire all the players, right? Like, that's the reality. And it's unfair. And, you know, Jason Rebrovich, I don't think he's a bad football coach by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, at the same time, you know, you paid, not only did you draft Rashawn Gary in the first round, then you paid him. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he had that ACL tear in Detroit a couple of years ago. But, you know, Tausch and I used to argue, Tausch wanted to say he's an elite pass rusher. He's never even had double digit sacks in his career.
Yeah. You can't be an elite pass rusher without having 10, at least one 10 plus sack season under your belt.
Right. And so, you know, he's not Clay Matthews. He has not made game changing plays. Now, will that happen? With the new position coach.
Jason, I hate to cut you off, but you're kind of cutting in and out on us. Josh is going to work to reconnect with
you. Yeah, just hang up. I'll call you back.
Hate to do that to Jason, especially when he's cooking in the middle of an answer, but And here's the other thing.
You couldn't understand him.
Yeah.
I just don't like that. Yeah.
Well, Ben, here's the other thing.
I just don't like lack of accountability.
Well, so
okay?
here's the interesting part of that, Chew, as well. Because by saying they have what they need, isn't Gutekunst just putting a huge target on his back?
Yeah, because especially after this year. So what if they have the exact same year?
Yeah.
Then whose fault is it? You know,
then the players aren't good enough.
Well, it's the players, but then it's Goody's fault.
For
drafting him, and then B, for re-signing him. That's why the Haslam thing I found so fascinating, you know? Because
yeah,
people don't usually do that.
Yeah, but that's also easy to say when nothing's going to happen to you. Right? Like, what are they going to do? Suspend themselves? Hold us accountable. Okay, what the hell does that mean when you're the owner, right? No, nobody's going to reprimand you. You've got all the money.
But, I mean, at least he's admitting his mistake, you know?
Sure.
Just this crap day, you know? I guess I had to deal with it when I played. Shoveling crap. It's just, be accountable.
Jason Wilde rejoining us. Jason, sorry about that.
Well, speaking of accountable, this is clearly all Josh's fault because I have wired headphones. I have full bars, so I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah,
so
take it, Josh.
Be accountable, Josh.
Yep.
This is all your fault.
I'm going to do my best, Jesse Nelson, and blame him.
Uh-huh. That's good pop. Good.
I feel good about setting you up for that. I was like a setter in volleyball.
So, Jason, we have talked with you a lot, and maybe we haven't talked about it recently, about the learning curve of young players. Is learning to play hurt part of that learning curve? Because I feel like it was used as an excuse for Jordan Love's... I mean, again, I don't want to make it seem like Jordan Love played bad, because he was still solid, but he didn't take that step forward I think everybody was expecting. And a lot of that was, well, he was dealing with injuries. And it seems like that's the same excuse that Matt LaFleur used earlier this week when he was asked about Jaden Reed, who started the season hot and ended the season, well, not very well.
Yeah. I mean, the last five games, he had 11 catches for 167 yards and no touchdowns. He had two games earlier in the year where he had 130 yards in a single game. Like, he was a non-factor. And now he still led them in receiving in both receptions and yardage. But, look, Matt LaFleur, for the most part, except apparently when there's uncertainty about a guy's injury and he's frustrated, he protects his players pretty well, right? I mean, he, you know, Mike McCarthy did too, right up until he basically called Eddie Lacy fat, and that was really bad, right? And I know Mike regrets that. But overall, this is not the Holmgren years where, you know, I would ask a question and be intimidated and nervous because I was new at this and he was an intimidating presence. But, like, he would shoot it straight, man. Like, if Chimura sucked, Chimura sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not the way things operate now. So, yes, we use excuses all the time, injuries, et cetera. Now, you know, the response that, and if you read my very, very long piece, it would have required you a lot of patience because LaFleur addressed so many topics that I wanted people to be able to read about on channel3000.com. Like, he gets into the Reed thing and he basically says, you know, that's on us for not doing a better job of creating opportunities for him. And he got banged up and we need to put him in fewer situations where he's getting hit hard. I mean, he even says, there's another quote that I didn't even include in the story where he basically said that they don't want to use him on jet sweeps as often to reduce the punishment he takes. I mean, can you imagine Holmgren saying that? Like, you know, Free broke his jaw and shattered his forearm mm-hmm. on passes across the middle. We're gonna stop sending Free across the middle. Like back then, and if you guys ever saw the movie Jerry Maguire, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character Rod Tidwell, one of the things he announces when he's claiming what a great player he is I go across the middle. Like it's not as scary to go across the middle anymore, right?
No,
it is
no.
a different game than it was when
yeah.
he played. Right?
Sure.
And so now we're looking at it, and look, I really like Jaden Reed. I think he has the potential to be a special player. But special players don't go and have only 11 catches in the last five games. And not only that, but for all the grief that Dontayvion Wicks took for dropping 9 passes, by the end of the season, Jaden Reed had more. And I know Wicks had like 3 in a game, but like if you look at the numbers from the second half of the season, Wicks just quietly was productive, stopped dropping balls. Like if someone has their arrow pointing up in that group, I still think it's Wicks after the way he finished the season.
Jason, rank these 3 for me in terms of being a straight shooter. And I think I know who your 3 is going to be, but Ron, Ted, Goody.
So one of the things that, and look, I feel like people think I'm a Goody hater. And what I hate about doing this job in this environment is that if you say things that are negative, then, you know, the staunch defenders of those people just brand you as unfair or
any sort of negative connotation.
Sure, I could
you
care
hate
less.
That person, you hate that
good.
Player.
I care less. Yeah. You know.
Well, you couldn't care less. First of all, and secondly, you don't have Twitter. You don't deal like.
No.
In fairness,
yeah, I
to
guess
me,
that's fair. Like, all right, you won.
like, look, I don't think we should insult people and threaten them to dox them, etc. But like. It is. We did a meeting yesterday as a team talking about social media and whatever else. Like it for the last 15 years of having Twitter, like that stuff wears on you when people are jerks to you.
Yeah.
And I understand I'm more sensitive than most. But my point is that, look, I think you could say a lot of things about me. My questions are too long. Fair. Right. I don't know the X's and O's as well as these former players that I get to work with. And that are my teammates at ESPN Wisconsin. Also fair. I believe in experts. And so I want to go to you about tight end play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a story on the competition that they're going to have at left tackle. So I asked Bulaga multiple questions that I was going to double dip and use them after he was done on our show in my story. Because he played tackle. He was a first round
yeah.
pick. He gets it, right? So when I say that Goody has an uneven record, you know, that doesn't mean that I hate him. He and I have known each other for almost 30 years. But it's my job to try and accurately portray what a guy has done. When I look at Jordan Love last year, yes, he dealt with injuries. He did. But that still doesn't change the fact that he didn't make as big of a jump as we expected after the way he finished 2023. I think that's a fair critique. It doesn't mean I think he sucks. It doesn't mean that I think, you know, they should have kept Aaron Rodgers for five more years. So when I say this about Goody, there's this feeling about Goody that he's somehow so much better than Ted. Well, I'm sorry, but Ted Thompson built a Super Bowl team. They won a Super Bowl. Him drafting Rodgers is not the same as Goody drafting Love. It's not. It's similar, but it's not exactly the same. And the stuff that Ted dealt with and the amount of vitriol he took, he did not have a bunch of stands on social media talking about what a great GM he was. And so my point is that Ron was the straightest of straight shooters.
Yeah.
I have so many favorite stories of him. My favorite, obviously, being in Tausch's draft class, a bunch of us standing on the sideline during, they weren't called OTAs then, they were just mini camps. But Joey Jameson, the punt returner that they had drafted in the fifth round, he was shorter than me. He was like 5'5". And he couldn't catch a punt. Like, they drafted him to be a punt returner. And Ron turns to us and says, "Oh, I effed up that pick." Like, I don't get
but
that.
Jason,
anymore,
we had a saying back in the day. Players used it, coaches used it, front office used it, and I'm sure you heard us say it around the locker room, and it's simple. Don't pee down my back and tell me it's raining. That used to mean something. Mm-hmm. That used to mean something. Now it doesn't. It means nothing. Well, it's like, do these fans believe everything this guy says? Because I sit there and I go, okay, must be raining. That's all I'm saying. I'm like, they say this stuff and they're like, do people believe this? Do they believe
I think it's fair. I think some... Look, I don't want to get into a greater socio-ecological discussion here, so I'm not going to do that. But there are a lot of people that believe a lot of things nowadays. I would just say that there is also, and we don't have time to get into this, but I also think players are different. And I think there are lots of players, now even more so with the NIL era, I think there are lots of players that, and I don't want to be coached hard. I want to be coached respectfully, okay? If I'm doing something poorly, I want to be told, here's how you can do it better. I want to be given tools to be better. I don't want somebody to just tell me, you suck, Wildy.
Yeah.
Okay? That's not the way I want to be coached. There are a lot of coaches that did that to you in that day. Today's players, they really don't want that. I don't know
really?
If they really want the tools either. I don't. I think there are, now that's not all players.
Yeah.
But when you go through being told how great you are all the time, so I don't think that I think that you have to be, whether you're the GM or the coach, when it comes to public critique, you have to be cognizant of that. At the same time, Matt LaFleur did have a saying. They put it up on the wall.
Yeah.
Standards over feelings. So I think he's trying, at least internally, to send a message that, look, we're not going to coddle you guys anymore. Like, you guys were all young guys, and, oh, there's growing pains. Well, we better get our blank together, because the GM said it's time we start competing for championships. We're going to figure out how the hell to do that.
Hmm.
Jason, we appreciate the time, buddy. We will talk to you again tomorrow on a Dude Friday.
I look forward to it, boys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wildy joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It is draft season, and we're getting closer and closer. I've got a feeling Josh and I are a little bit more plugged in. We're going to let you know who our draft crushes are, and we're going to assign a draft crush to Chewy. We do that coming up next. But Bucks fans, it's time to show off your skills. And a pair of Bucks tickets are on the line, and this time of year, look, we're all going to be distracted by hoops, whether it's your home at the driveway, you're on the court in a gym, or even just rolling up a ball of paper to shoot hoops into the garbage at work. We're all trying to get buckets, and we want you to show us your best shots. Send us a video at ESPN Milwaukee on Twitter using the hashtag BucksTrickShot of your creative shots. Send it in before April 8th. That's deadlines coming in before, but you know it. And you can win two Bucks tickets to the regular season finale April 13th against Detroit. Could be a big game in terms of seeding. So take your shots, send us the video, use the hashtag BucksTrickShot on Twitter to submit your stuff.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because
you must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We're getting closer and closer to the draft. And in fact, 3 weeks from today, first round of the draft up in Green Bay, we are going to be wall-to-wall. We're going to have a lot of great coverage, and I'm sure we'll get all those details out to you across ESPN Wisconsin. But we're going to be up at the Tundra Trio. We're going to be having a good time. Me and Josh Lee certainly going to be involved. I'm sure Chewy will call in for a couple of segments as he stays warm in Florida, and we presumably will be freezing our you-know-what's off up in Green Bay.
Think positive.
You don't have to think positive.
I do not.
You know it's going to be
warm. I just
warm.
Hope I don't fall asleep this year.
That, I mean, that's the goal
I
every
did
year.
Fall asleep. That was a story. Did you know that, Josh?
Yes, I was aware of that. Most people became aware of it.
Because there's video of it.
Good story. Not all I remember is Angie going, hey, you're on the air. Okay. Didn't miss a beat.
Too bad you didn't snore. That would have been the best.
Oh, God. If you would have just started snoring.
That would have been great.
That would have been fantastic. Yeah, so please don't fall asleep this year.
I won't.
But I'm sure you haven't really done a deep dive the way that Joshy and I are.
Like, nope.
Josh, is it fair to call you are you a draft nerd?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'd even go so far as using more negative terms.
Like geek?
Yeah. Dork. Okay. Psycho.
Tool.
Because, I mean, I dive into the draft. I feel I don't dive in as deeply as you do. But who do you want the Packers to take? Like, who, as we sit here 3 weeks out, has become your draft crush?
So, we're saying first round.
First round,
we want.
Yes.
Yeah.
First round.
First round.
Save your second and third round crushes for when we're doing the Friday night show.
I could talk about a lot of people. I am a Tetro McMillan fan, the wide receiver. I do think that is highly unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
I have come around a lot to the 4.5 sack edge rusher from Texas A&M, Shamar Stewart.
God.
I saw some convincing, compelling arguments on how basically he's not asked to rush the passer because of modern offenses in college football. But I've been talked into pretty much any of those edge rushers at this point. That is where I've really set my mind to. I've heard some negative things about James Pierce from Tennessee based on basically his coaches not being a big fan of him at Tennessee. So I think I'm pretty much in the first round. I'm stuck on Mike Green and Shamar Stewart.
Okay.
Let me ask you this question, though. Because if they do take that player, is Goody admitting that he screwed up?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is admitting that he screwed up. And he's not going to say it.
No.
No.
Is he going to say, well, you can never have enough defensive ends that
of
rush
course.
The pass?
Correct.
Of course. Yeah. He's going to mention.
You've got the playbook. Yeah. Why are you asking
no,
us?
No, I know.
He's going to mention the Eagles, and he's going to say they have four.
They rotated through guys. If
we
you
rotate our guys through a lot, too, which they do.
Yeah.
Well, it's just they
rotated through because they were just throwing spaghetti at the wall where the Eagles actually had good pass rushers, and that's why they were rotating.
The drop from 1 to 3, it was precipitous for the Packers, whereas for them, it really wasn't much of a disadvantage.
My gut, which is a little bigger from being up here for a week, tells me they're going to go corner, receiver, D end.
What'd you eat that's made it a little bit bigger?
You just eat more
here. Because it's a little colder?
Because it's cold and damp, and yesterday was brutal.
Yesterday was brutal. Walking into the stadium, going to go to the game yesterday was tough.
But I just have a gut feeling they're going to go corner, receiver, because they like taking them in the second round, and then sprinkle in a D end after that.
This has been a recent development for me, Josh, and maybe this guy ends up falling to the second round, but knowing how pass rushers can go. Nick Squirton, who's the other pass rusher from Texas A&M, that's my guy, because he's had more production. He led the Big Ten in sacks in 2023, he had 10. Then he had 5 last year, so he still had more than Shamar Stewart. And I feel like maybe I've been burned by the, well, he's not productive, and you come up with well, Lucas Van Ness wasn't a starter. That's why he wasn't productive at Iowa. But he's a physical freak. You're just going to have to trust us on this.
Yeah.
And I understand Shamar Stewart is a physical freak. But I want to have some of that freakiness actually match up with a little bit of production. And that's where, and I may be pronouncing this wrong, but Squirtin comes in for Texas A&M.
What are some of the deepest positions in the draft?
First round, it's actually pretty deep at edge rusher, which isn't usually the case. Defensive tackle's also pretty deep. When you look across the entirety of the draft, running back is extremely deep.
Running back's really deep.
But we don't need one.
Yeah, it's
that's the thing, and I keep trying to put this out there, that I think the Packers end up taking one higher than people imagine, but it's simply going to be based off of Josh Jacobs has basically a year left in Green Bay. We haven't seen a single thing from Marshawn Lloyd.
But he was a third-round pick.
Right, but they're just...
But you need insurance.
Yeah, and they... I think the Packers want, and the reason they drafted A.J. Dillon so high was they want two guys back there. They don't want one guy... Unless it's someone like Josh Jacobs to just carry the entirety of the
Why can't they say Emmanuel Wilson's good? If you want to tell someone they're good?
They have. They put
you want to tell someone they're good?
But if they draft a running back.
Tell Emmanuel Wilson he's good.
Yeah, but if they draft a running back, Josh, they're kind of forcing Emmanuel Wilson out.
Let's be honest. He is slightly above a guy.
I don't know. I mean, look at his numbers.
Oh, man. Now we're back on the Emmanuel Wilson hate from you?
He's... Effective when used, and I think they showed they had trust in him, but you don't think there's more talented and more explosive guys that could fill that role that are younger.
I mean, he averaged 5 yards a carry.
Yeah, well, who didn't in the Packers offense?
Josh Jacobs?
Brooks looked good.
Josh Jacobs didn't average five a carry. Just saying.
So what you're telling me is you like Marshawn Lloyd better than, and we,
no,
we,
I,
we don't
I
even
don't know
what he is.
About Marshawn Lloyd.
I don't hate, but I have a problem with people that elevate a person's play just because of where they're drafted.
That's not what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea what Marshawn Lloyd is.
No clue.
The Packers don't either.
Anybody who tries to tell you they know what Marshawn Lloyd is,
yes,
is lying to you. Because nobody can know.
Yes.
Nobody could possibly know. Or have an idea.
And that's why I would be like, yeah, I don't want to bank on, well, maybe this guy works out. Get me another running back. Because obviously the Packers are effective when they have a good running game.
Chewy, can you describe, because Josh and I are going to try to assign you a player. So you tell me tell me the position and then the type of player you're looking for. And then we're going to tell you who that guy is in the draft.
Okay.
In the first round for the Packers. Yeah, we can go to break. Oh, man, look at this guy. Caring about the clock.
I'm on it. Hey, we got to pay bills. It's all about paying bills, right, Josh?
It's what life is at this point.
I just want to hear Josh's read. I love it so much. You've heard of...
jeez.
Oh, man, Josh, you're taking...
I love it!
You're taking shots from
That's
him on
shot.
Live Reads.
That's his niche. That's his
niche?
Wheelhouse.
My voice? How I talk?
I love it.
Do you have Wanna Parlay? Do you want to talk about Wanna Parlay?
I do, after my buddy set me up so well here.
He tried to lob it. He threw it over the backboard, but he tried to lob it for the alley-oop.
The show has no accountability. Other than me, it has zero accountability.
All right, we'll have to try to learn from Chewy. But
Put it on the poll. Who has the most accountability? Gabe, Joshy, or me?
All right.
I think you lose that running away. We just talked yesterday about how you don't even know your own passwords.
I was talking about today, not yesterday, all right?
It's a micro view, not the macro view. Josh, tell us about Wanna Parlay.
Hey, we got some more college hoops game. I'm trying to do it like Chewy. You know what I say. Wanna Parlay is my favorite app. I downloaded the Wanna Parlay app on my phone, and it is so much fun. You can compete against me and other Gen Game and Chewy listeners to see who can combine a few picks and build the best parlay. It's just $2 for taking home a huge cash prize. It's a blast. It's so simple to use. And there are new basketball, hockey, baseball, and combat sports contests every single week. And again, the best part is only $2 to enter a parlay into the contest. Plus, you can always play their free-to-play games as well. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app, and if you decide to upload money, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match for up to $250. That's code JGC. Download the Wanna Parlay app, and let's play the world's richest parlay today. Code JGC. Must be 18 years or older to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things, because it exceeds... It's like... I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
my apple.
All right,
can we just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Josh and I trying to figure out who Chewy's draft crush should be. Josh and I both picking different ones, but edge players from Texas A&M. So Chewy, in order to figure out yours, we got to start with position. Which position do you think the Packers should take in that first round at pick 23?
Receiver.
Oh, you're going receiver?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
What type of receiver are you looking for?
I don't want a big guy.
Okay.
You know, I don't want 6'4", mm-hmm. 225. You know, I don't want a DK Metcalf.
Okay.
I want a... I probably want more of like... I mean, it'd be easy to say Justin Jefferson mm-hmm. or Jamar Chase, right?
Yep.
Whether that's realistic, I don't know. But I would be looking for more of a, like, Amon St. Brown. Not big, yep. Fast. You have to double cover him if you want to stop him.
Okay.
Catches everything. Maybe give up a little bit of speed for great hands.
Okay.
That type of player. Because if you mix that type of guy where he's going to draw double coverage,
mm-hmm.
you got a good offense, man, with the receivers they have. They have a couple that are good enough to be number twos. But the elevation of Tucker Kraft and then Josh Jacobs in the backfield makes that a real, real, really good offense.
So...
He's describing Matthew Golden.
Yeah, but I don't know if Golden's going to be available.
No, and I mean, that's sort of where
so,
Emeka Ogbuka.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'd say Emeka Ogbuka or Luther Burden. I might be able to fit that.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you're going Ohio State, because most Ohio State receivers turn out to be pretty good.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, go back to Olave. When he was young, mm-hmm. really good. I mean, Marvin Harrison, that's an easy one.
Jackson Smith and Jigba up in Seattle. Yep.
You know?
Like they were completely okay with getting rid of
DK
yes. because of Jackson Smith.
That's what I would be looking for.
Yeah, so I think Emeka Ogbuka is your guy. I think he's your guy. He's maybe not the fastest, but he's got enough speed, and I think you trust his hands.
Yes.
All right.
And Ohio State
6'1", 202.
I
so
like
he's
that.
Not the biggest.
Sure.
You know?
What's but he's he also run? Not, you know what he runs?
I don't know what his 40 time is off the top.
I mean,
a
low 4.5 guy, I don't have a problem with.
Because 4.46.
That's great.
If we want to go deeper here, Trey Harris from Ole Miss also probably would apply to what he's describing.
And then when you have that, then you get Christian Watson back, who's clearly an X. Christian Watson reminds me of an Alvin Harper type, maybe a little bit better. Not a possession receiver, but a guy that can go deep, can make big plays, maybe a 50-60 catch guy. With everything else they have, that's pretty damn good. That's a good offense.
And if you get, I mean, who knows what you can sign to Christian Watson to at the end of the year.
Yeah, hopefully cheap.
Yeah, and a year or two, just kind of give him the opportunity to get healthy and mm-hmm. show what he can do before he breaks into it, and maybe you can pair both of them together more. In 2026. All right, so Emeka Ogbuka is Chewy's guy. If you have a draft crush, give it to us on the Carblues Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. We're going to throw Chewy and make him translate what actually was said by some Packers members. I mean, we've got some from, mostly Matt LaFleur. Maybe we sprinkle something in there from Brian Gutekunst this week. But the Chewy translator is coming your way. 2 minutes.